Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of A Place in the Conversation. My name is Dan Neiswanger. I'm the spiritual formation catalyst for A Place in the Conversation, and we're glad to have you join us today. I'm flying solo today. My partner, Nick Everhart, is not with us, and that's because I've traveled to Locust, North Carolina, to spend a little time talking with one of my great friends, Ronnie Russell. Ronnie is the executive director of Living End Ministries, and we met for the first time probably close to 15 years ago now, when my family moved to Locust, North Carolina. Locust is just outside of Charlotte. My wife's family all live in this area, and we spent a season outside of ministry, and we're blessed with the opportunity to be able to live near family and to experience that. And it was during that time that that I first met Ronnie. Ronnie was at that time was the pastor of Mission Baptist Church, and at that time had been there for about 30 years. And all told, ended up being there for about 37 years. So, Ronnie, why don't you say hello and give us a brief introduction of who you are and what's important to you.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's good to be with you. Who am I? That's the question, right? Yeah. Who am I? So I was a pastor, as Dan said, for 37 years, and seminary education, an undergraduate education in business. So I haven't always been felt led to be a pastor. That happened in my early 20s. So I went to a seminary, got a master's degree, and so came to this little church outside of Locust, North Carolina. And if you think Locust is small, just think of outside of Locust. So I came there just to fill in one Sunday, and I wound up staying 37 years.
Well, and to help everybody understand what Locust is or what it was, I first started showing up in Locust about 32 years ago when Nancy first brought me down to North Carolina to meet her family. And at that time, there was only a two-lane road driving through the center of Locust. You were either going toward Charlotte or, you know, back into Locust, just a two-lane road. And if you think about, Mayberry, it's really what it looked like. It was all of town was based on that 24/27 as it ran through Locust. And over the past 30 years, there's been a lot of growth as Charlotte has spread out, and now you've got two lanes going in each direction. Just a lot of growth, a lot of transformation. But it is a wonderful community down here. So Ronnie and I started getting together. One of the things I want Ronnie to talk about is when I met Ronnie, he was getting to that place in life where one starts to think about, I've been a pastor in this church for 30 years, and it's time to be thinking about the next piece of what life is going to look like. And I remember we were having lunch together one day, and Ronnie started talking about the difference between retirement and refirement. And when you first started talking like that, I just thought, what's he talking about? But the more you talked about it, it really resonated. It started to resonate deeply with me, it had an impact in my own life. So, Ronnie, would you talk a little bit about what you meant about the difference between retirement and refirement?
Several years before I met you, my wife and I were at the beach just for a week by ourselves. And as always, I took some books to read. And one of them, and I don't remember who recommended this book or what prompted me to get it, one of them was entitled Finishing Well, Finishing Well. And it was by a guy named Bob Buford. And he was writing different biographies, short biographies of people that he knew that had retired And he came up with the phrase refirement. I wish that was original with me, Dan, but it's not. So I started thinking, what does that look like, or what would it look like? When I got back home, or as I was reading it, I was thinking of other people about my age who would, I thought, benefit from this or would be interested at least in reading it. So we started getting together. There was wound up about 8 or 10 of us in the beginning. It never grew to more than 12 or so. But we started meeting on Friday mornings at 6 o'clock, and we'd study a chapter each week, then talk about it. So that's really what I guess got me thinking about refirement, because I knew I was going to retire in a few years, and I was ready to retire, but I thought, what am I going to do that's worthwhile? This is not being judgmental, but I had been seeing too many people reach retirement and they don't have a plan. And so they flounder for a while, sometimes a very long time. And I don't think that's healthy emotionally or physically. So I was looking for something else meaningful to do.
Yeah. And so what'd you end up doing, Ronnie?
I ended up, of course, retiring. You mean before retirement?
No, after retirement. So after you retired, what'd you end up doing?
Well, of course, you were involved, heavily involved in the founding of this organization called Live Again Ministries. It's based on Job 14:14, if a man dies, he says, can he live again? And so that's what I was wanting to do, to live again, to start a new life. Not that there was anything wrong with the old one, but I wanted a fresh start in my middle 60s. And so we got incorporated. We did the 501c3, which is a nonprofit status with the IRS. And we started going from there. To be incorporated, you had to have a board of directors. And so I chose five guys that I knew that were good friends. And I was thinking they could help me get it started because they're very encouraging people. So that's how it started, with that board of directors. And it went from there.
Yeah. I remember one of the conversations that you and I had, we were sitting in the pizza shop just down the street. And a big part of my call to ministry, I can trace it back to the island of Roatan.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I could take you to a park bench, you know, in Cox and Hole, across from the Baptist Church, and I can tell you, you know, that I can share the story about that, and I've shared it with you in the past, and you had just gotten back from a trip somewhere, and you had met a lady in the airport. And you had struck up a conversation with her, and she had been doing some work on the island of Roatan, and you and I were sitting in the pizza place, and you said, Dan, have you ever heard of a place called Roatan? I think I might want to take some people from Live Again to Roatan. And at that point in my life, there was only one place in the world that I wanted to get back to. Mm-hmm. And that was it was on my bucket list, because I there was a part of me personally and spiritually, I needed to get back to that place. And it was a divine thing where, you know, you met some random lady in the airport, and then here we go. So Live Again has done a lot of work on Roatan. Share a little bit about what you've been up to down there.
We started with just going to help this lady from Georgia, and we were a part of her group. A few of us joined her group. And while we were there, a little girl in a school, and we'd go into schools and have like a Bible school type thing, and recreation and food. And so while we were there, a little girl comes running and speaking Spanish, of course. And somebody was able to understand that she meant that a friend of hers was passed out in the room. And so we had a nurse with us, and I went, and two or three others went to see what was going on. To make the long story short, we wound up taking her to a clinic after we learned that she was turned away from the health clinic because of her inability to pay. So we gathered up enough money among ourselves to rent a plane and a pilot to fly over there. He asked for $500. We offered $250, and he took it. So it turned out that she had blood poisoning, septic poisoning. And they said that they saw a lot of cases like this, and it most often was from impure water, from not having clean water to drink or to use in cooking. So we decided to do a water project. We had done one on the mainland of Honduras a few years before, and we put up a big tank, 650-gallon tank with a chlorinator attached to it. And so that was how we started on Roatan. Since then, we've done several of those. We started doing also water filters for individual homes. That's been our most recent adventure. And sometimes it is an adventure. And from there, I called them spinoff projects or spinoff ministries. It led to bringing medical teams. One year, we do a big event called a senior adult luncheon once a year, and inviting about 400 people to come, and we feed them a great meal. We treat them like kings and queens for one day. Yep. And that's been awesome. And we also sponsor some children to help them get a good education there with bilingual private schools and things like that. We just keep adding to our repertoire of projects we do.
Yeah, that senior luncheon, that's a special thing. I had an opportunity to participate in a couple of those. And, you know, down on Roatan, you know, there's not always the resources that we have here in the States to take care of everybody. And unfortunately, the elderly are not always taken care of, appreciated. And so for this one day, Nydia Webster just does a fantastic job organizing this thing. And the old elderly people from all over the island are brought in by taxis to one place. And the meal is absolutely outstanding, and there's all kinds of gifts and drawings and giveaways, and everybody in the island looks forward to that, and it is a special day. Talk a little bit about Nydia, because I know Nydia is a big partner on Roatan with Live Again.
I had gotten to know a missionary couple named Bob and Deb from Canada. And he asked questions, learned what we were doing, and he said, there's a lady you need to meet. She's very benevolent. She does a lot of good for the poor, for children and older people, anybody in need. And she was known and still is known all over the island for doing that kind of thing. So he took me to her little shop, which was a party store with things like piñatas and that sort of thing. And so that's how I first met Nydia. And two or three times after that, and I told her, I said, Nydia, I'm going to be coming back to see you if you will find us a place to put this water tank so that we can purify the water. And so for two or three times after that, every time I'd go, I'd stop at her little store and go in and say, I haven't forgotten you. We're still working on it. And that told her, I think, that we were somebody that she could trust. So we started doing things with her, still have a great relationship with her, and she has led us to do all kinds of projects from light construction to the water projects to the senior luncheon, as we've mentioned.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that, you know, for me personally, that comes out of working with Live Again, and especially with Live Again on the island of Roatan, is the way that different people get involved. And my daughter I took both my children, Joseph and Rayanne, on trips to Roatan, and Rayanne really, that became her place. Mm-hmm. And she returns on a regular basis, mm-hmm. Almost yearly. I missed a year during COVID. But other than that, she's there just about every summer, and went from being a participant to working with Maria to be a leader and of a trip. And it's just been it's been an amazing thing. And so I personally, as a dad, I thank you for all that stuff you've done. But Live Again does other things too. Live Again does a lot of stuff in Stanley County. So what are some of the other things that Live Again is doing?
Well, first of all, let me, I failed to do this, but Dan was a huge part in helping us get started. He's a great organizer. We're sitting here at this microphone set up, and everything is in its place and it's perfect. So that was a very valuable asset to have someone like that. So that was the first few years until he moved back to Pennsylvania. So, and the question about what we do locally. The first thing we started was with our board of directors, and we invited four or five other influential people in the community to come and meet with us, because somebody said on our board, why don't we do something locally with young people? So we looked into all kinds of things. We spent about a year examining different organizations, different ministries and projects that were going on here, and we settled on an after-school program for at-risk teens. It came to be called TRIBE, T-R-I-B-E, Teaching, Relationships, and Behavior in Education. It was all about, as most of our projects are, building relationships with people. We don't go to a place to do a mission project and dump a blessing on them and then leave. We go back year after year, sometimes more than once a year. And so that was one thing we did with the TRIBE program. We build relationships with kids, and a lot of these kids are kids that will sit in the cafeteria by themselves. They are awkward sometimes socially. They're struggling with academics, behavior problems. And so we take them 3 days a week in the afternoon and teach them a curriculum that one of our board members wrote, who is a principal, school principal. And so that has gone on for 9 years now. We're in the ninth year, if you count the year we didn't meet with COVID. So one night, I'll tell you how we got into another aspect of what we're doing. One night, a lady named Susan called me, and she was on her way home from Charlotte. And Susan and her husband, Mark, are great friends of my wife and I. And so she called and she said, Ronnie, we've got to go to this homeless camp over in South Charlotte. And I said, Susan, what are you, where are you, and what have you been doing? Turns out she had joined a group of ladies that were going into strip clubs and talking to the ladies who worked there. The managers or owners would say, okay, you can do that, but don't try to talk them out of their job. And so they would do things like even bring Bibles in, but cosmetics and things just to give a platform on which they could talk. And so she said, we need to go over there Saturday morning. I'll make a big pot of soup. We'll take some coffee and we'll just feed them and talk to them. And I said, okay, but we're going to eat with them, because I knew that was important to sit down and eat with somebody. It puts you on the same level as they are. So we have tried to treat them through the years with respect and dignity, and help to restore some of the dignity they had lost. They were all addicts, every single one, in that little camp of about 12 or 14 tents. Soon after that, the camp was disbanded. The police ran them away because it was right next to a railroad track, and one of the people who lived out there had gotten hit and killed by the train. So we've been doing that since 2013. And it has gone great.
Good. Yeah. So, in case those of you who are listening aren't keeping track here, this is retirement, right? This is entering into retirement, mm-hmm. and if you're not a little bit tired listening to Ronnie tell you everything that the Live Again Ministries has been up to, how many years has it been now?
It's been 2011, it's been 11 years.
11 years. In the past 11 years, of retirement. I mean, this is what retirement looks like, yeah. Saying, okay, we're going to make a difference. And I might not be punching a clock like I used to, going to the office like I used to, but you know what? I have skills, I have abilities, I have talents, mm-hmm. I have gifts. And I want to invest them somewhere, and I want to use them. I want to use them for the greater good. I want to use them for the building of the kingdom. And there's people out there who would benefit from what I have to offer, This is kind of what refinement looks like.
It's finding
your place, and maybe for you, it's not. Hey, I'm going to start my own nonprofit and start my own thing. Maybe it's looking into your community and finding out where's the place where I can serve. Where's the place where I can add value, and you know where. In Southern Chester County, where I live, there's no end of places where you can do that. And the same exists, here in Stanley County. And Live Again is always looking for people to be helping and everything. But that's not all that Live Again does. I mean, you do also have a ministry for those who are coming out of recovery houses.
So. Exactly. It's called Living Again, which is, of course, based on the name of our organization. Living Again is taking people who have been through detox and also a rehab, and they're wanting to start a new life, but they don't have anywhere to go. Many of them don't have hardly any clothes or a place to live. And so we have partnered with an organization called West Stanley Christian Ministries, which is basically a thrift store and food pantry, and another organization that has what they call sober houses for people that I just described who are looking for a new start. And so the three of us organizations partner together, and we call it the internship, and they work at the ministry, the West Stanley Christian Ministries, and for 3 months. We're committed to them for 3 months. In some cases, a few of them have gone on to get full-time employment there or full-time employment somewhere else. I wish I could tell you that all of them, 100% success rate, but you would know that's probably not true. But we think we feel pretty strongly that we have made a difference in a number of lives. And Dan, by the way, was instrumental in getting this started. He called me one day before we started that program, and he said, he started telling me about this thing in their church called what?
It was a Returning Citizens Project.
Yeah, Returning Citizens from Incarceration.
From Incarceration, yeah.
And as he described it, I was thinking to myself, gosh, that sounds like something Live Again could do. Another, like we needed something else to get involved in. So he sent me his copy by email. And this thing was about 190 pages long. Now, it just seemed that way. And so Dan, being the very thorough and detailed person that he is, he had this long program all planned out. I mean, dotting every I and crossing every T. And so I started working on it. I thought we could adapt this. And I think it was at that point I came up with the term Living Again. So I put it on the back burner for quite a while. In fact, it was well over a year because I had to have surgery during that time. And so I did not really get it started until this guy who is the director of West Stanley Christian Ministries called me one day and he said, Rodney, I want to buy your lunch. I have something I want to share with you. So as we sat down and he began to share, it was almost exactly the same thing that Dan had created for his church. And he said, when he finished, he said, what do you think? And I said, Dan, I've already got it. I've already written it out. I'm going to send it to you and you can tweak it. I think he wound up changing two or three words. And so that's how it got started.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, Ronnie and I work very well together. And it's a partnership and it's a blessing. And Ronnie is a great guy of vision. And then I'll put stuff together, and then Ronnie will take my 130 pages. It wasn't 130 pages, but he'll take my 130 pages and work it down to five, and say that's good enough for us. Let's go. And so we worked very well together. So
actually, it's 9 pages now, and the guys bring it, and females and males bring it back, and they have filled out the questionnaire, and they will say something like, this took a long time. And I said, if you think this is long, you should have seen the original one that I was working with.
Oh, man, but it's all good. It's all good stuff.
For sure.
So, Ronnie, we have a few minutes left. And so, I mean, people, I hope you like this. It's really cool, right? So we sat down and had that conversation years ago, and I don't want to retire. I don't want to play golf. I don't want to sit on my porch and read books, watch television. I don't want to, whatever you would normally envision. Just I'm done pastoring. Done it for 37 years. What am I going to do? Well, I'm just going to rest. No, I'm going to refire. I'm going to redefine what life looks like, and how I give back. And as you listen to you talk about it, it's all of it is being open to, well, where's the Spirit moving? Where's God at work? Where's the Spirit at work? And then how can I come alongside? How can I partner with? How can I move with? And then it's just this legacy, all this stuff. But Ryan, let's spend a few minutes just talking about our relationship, because you and I, I've been back up in Pennsylvania for 7 years, and we're sitting down here today. We haven't seen each other for probably 6 months, probably 4 months in person.
Right.
It was my father-in-law's funeral. I was down here. We talked in person, but we just sit down and talk like we saw each other last week.
Yeah.
And that's just, to me, that's a blessing.
We also talk on the phone
from
time to time.
We do. Yeah. We check in often with each other. I think it's valuable just to have somebody who kind of shares that, the same kind of vision for what life is and ought to be.
I remember one day I was sitting here in this office, and a friend of mine came in right after we had moved in, and he looked around and he said, "Okay, what's this office? What is the purpose of it, other than saving your marriage?" And another guy came in one day, a friend of mine who was a pastor, and it was like 5:30 in the afternoon. And in the beginning, I was working 50, 60 hours a week, and I was still in the office. And he said, "You work as much as I do." And I said, "Yes, Jim, but I'm having a lot more fun."
That's it. Isn't that true? Like there's something about that, right? So, So I went on disability in August of 21, right? They put me on, my oncologist told me it was time to stop work. And so I retired and went on disability, and I don't, because my body doesn't have the energy. I can't, if I had to work to a schedule and was required to do, I can't. But when I have energy, I do things. And when I don't have energy, I take a nap. And there might be 3 days where all I do is sleep, when I'm going through treatment. But then I come out of that and you know what? I have enough energy and I can do one thing a day. And I do that. And I've had friends say the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, "You're getting more done than I do." And they just are amazed. And I just kind of laugh and go, "Yeah, but it's fun." Like, I'm seeing things are happening. We're taking steps towards something. We're transformation, renewal is happening. And I don't know that I would enjoy life if I was not a part of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would do.
Same here.
Yeah. 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 Anything else you were sharing? You look like you're ready to share something. You want to share something?
Well, at my age, Dan, I can only hold a thought in my head about 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
So it'll probably come to me after.
It'll come after. Good. Okay. Good. All right. Good. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. And this idea of refiring instead of retiring. It doesn't have to happen, when you reach a certain age. You can refire at any time in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely in our lives markers where, we reach a certain age and we think, well, this is what's supposed to happen. This is what everybody else does. And so this is what is expected of me. I don't know that that's wise. I think, if being able to figure out what for me is life-giving, what is purposeful, what is going to bring me joy, what's going to bring me a sense of fulfillment, and then being able to step into it. Ronnie?
Some years ago when I was still a pastor, I did a log of what I did over a period of 3 months, what I did on a daily basis. And so at the end of the day, I'd write down what I did, and I assigned a value to it, whether it was life-giving or life-draining. And my goal was at the end of this three-month period, I would have a lot more life-giving experiences than those that just suck the life right out of you. And so at the end of that time, I did have more life-giving experiences. Unfortunately, the church has become, in some cases, a bureaucratic nightmare. But I'm able to work outside those lines as a retired pastor. We still have a board of directors to which I answer. But it's just the freedom to be able to do things, unencumbered freedom.
Unencumbered freedom, yeah, that's really good. And I like that discipline, too. That's something all of us could do is sit there and, you know, keep a log every night before you put your head in the pillow, reflect back throughout the day and just write down the things you did. And was it life-giving or life-draining? Mm-hmm. And at the end of that time, take a look at it and say, okay, I need to do more of this, and I need to find ways to get these things out. You know, are they important enough to keep doing? Mm-hmm. Some things that are life draining we just have to do them. We have to force way through them.
Of course.
But then there's some things we could, you know, we can find other ways to accomplish those things. And you know what? As you're talking about that, I was reflecting on the life-giving, life-draining changes over time. You know, because when I was living here, life-giving was my wood shop. Like mm-hmm. My wood shop was huge and great, and I would go in there, and that was so life-giving. After I got sick and was going through treatment and everything, the wood shop became life-draining because I didn't have the energy to stand mm-hmm. and to use the stuff. And I really wrestled with that for a long period of time. Like, well, this is who I am. This is what used to be life-giving. So I've got to keep this. I have to have this. And I clung on to it until finally I realized, you know what? Having this is keeping me from doing what the next life-giving thing mm-hmm. is. And I need to get rid of this. And so piece by piece by piece, I got rid of my wood shop. And that's kind of freed me up to do the next life-giving thing.
We're talking about this life-giving experiences, and that's important if you're going to refire, or in my case, when you come to retirement, you don't want to jump into something that's just going to drain the life out of you. Yeah. Mine, of course, is in ministry, and I think God has wired me that way, that I feel a lot better about life and a lot less negative and more positive about life when I'm on the street helping a drug addict find help and hope. So find out what it is that you can do that does give you life and energy.
Yeah, that's good. Good words. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us. And you can, Ronnie, share Live Again's website so if people want to learn more about Live Again.
It's live-againministries@... What is it?
I think it's .org, isn't it?
Yes, .org, yeah.
Okay.
Live-againministries.org.
Okay, and I'll make sure there's a link connected to this so that you can learn more about Live Again. Very great organization involved in a whole lot of different things. And there's great, great, great work that's going on out of Live Again. So again, everybody, thanks for listening. And until next time, may you just be sensitive to the moving, the guiding, the leading of the Spirit in your life each and every day.